we are ready to go in a minute. Okay.
Then I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Picture perfect memories scattered all around the floor.
Hi everyone, this is a very special edition of Data, I'm After Dark. I love it when I say special edition of Data, I'm After Dark. Tonight we are talking to one of my favorite people in daytime. Yes, I've been a little mad at his character for the last couple of weeks, which we are going to dive into because, you know, Colin should be mad at her little people she loves in daytime. I should be happy with them all the time. Okay, you know him as Abe on Days of Alive. He's been there over 30 years. And he was also on Generations with my TV husband, Christoph St. John. So let's hear for Zane. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm recovering from my birthday week. My birthday so Friday. I had Zayety Peck call in. I had A. Martinez call in, and at the end of my show, Christoph St. John called in.
Well, now I have you. Well, thank you very much. It's great.
Well,
I know Eddie a bit, but A and Christoph are two of my favorite people. So I'm certainly glad you got a chance to talk to them.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, have you, I mean, because I know Zayety has been in the business for so long, and so you probably have
him. It's been a while.
Well, my new thing is getting him back in daytime to make me happy. It's not about the fans right now, it's about me, because I miss him in daytime, and right now, you know, Christoph is not having any scenes right now, so then I'm mad. And we haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. We haven't seen you in a couple of weeks on dates.
Well,
by the way,
you'll see me more, and then in the fall you'll see me a lot. So there's going to be a lot more of Abe in a couple months.
Well, yeah, because people tweet me on Facebook, where is Abe? I'm like, I think he's living in the Brady Pub right now upstairs. See, I think whenever they don't mention a character for like a couple of months, you guys are all upstairs and you guys have like took like a really good cat nap or whatever. And yes, so right now, I mean, I know I won't ask you any head of storyline details, but are you guys at the Christmas part on dates or Thanksgiving? Because I want to know how they can suit 6 minutes in advance with all the snow thingies and everything, because every year it looks so real.
Well, that's what we do. That's our job, is to make it look as real as possible. And so I'm glad we're succeeding. But yeah, it's difficult, particularly difficult for production to keep us going that far out. I think we're about 5 months ahead right now, and but our job is to make it look real. So we start wearing heavy coats in the middle of summer, and we have to feel like the cold wind is chilling us in the middle of July. But that's what we're paid for, and that's part of the fun of what we do.
I mean, but, you know, you guys make it so real, and, you know, and my grandma, you know, who got me hooked on dates, thank you, Grandma, always said that the one thing she always looked forward to every year was the Christmas and the Alderman's at the Houghton House. And if you want me to, I think we need to start a campaign to get Abe having a Odoman at the Houghton House, because come on, you're honorary Brady, you're honorary Houghton. It's about time. I could say that you're honorary DeMille, but I don't think you would want that.
Well, some DeMires are all right.
Yes.
They're okay, but yeah, it'd be nice to have Abe's bulb on the tree. But you know, it's one of the things that makes days special is that are all those traditions that we have every year, and the Houghton, the hanging of the bulbs on the Houghton tree is one of those traditions.
Yeah, and heck, you're not even a Houghton and you're there every year, and when you're not, I'm mad. Because, you know, I really think you should, you know, be on screen like Mo, and I would love, can you tell me, I know I won't ask storyline, but have you got a chance to work with A. Martinez on dates yet? He plays Eduardo, as I call it, Eddie.
Right.
Because
well,
you type Eduardo,
A, you know, right,
you treat it wrong.
Look,
it's done.
Well, I love A. You know, we've known each other for, gosh, I guess 30 years or so now. And, you know, A used to be on Santa Barbara years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they shot on stage 9, which is on the same lot where we are currently. And then when I did Generations, we also shot on stage 9. And when I started on Days of Our Lives, we shot on stage 9. So all those connections on that soundstage for many, many years. But A's a great guy. We have some friends in common, and I'm so happy that I've actually been able to see him a time or two away from the show since he's been back, and that's a nice thing. He's come over to our theater a couple times, but he's a great guy.
Well, see, I'm doing all these bromances lately, and John and Eddie have like one of the best bromances going on Days of Our Life. And you used to have the best bromance with a woman and Bo, but, you know, well, Bo's dead, and we don't see you that much. We don't see you that much, you know, getting, you know, hanging out with women. And, you know, I'm like, come on, give us a woman and Abe scene. And they haven't done that in, like, months. And when you were here last, it was just as the kids were surrossing, you know, to make them order. And, you know,
right,
at first I was scared of it, to be honest. I'm like, this is not going to work. They're going to have egg on their face, you know, in a couple of months. But I was wrong, and I will admit that on air. I was totally wrong about it. Because
they're great kids, aren't they?
Mm-hmm, it does. You know, I mean, you know, aging the kids, you know, isn't like, I mean, my one thing is you cannot really age Sammy's kids right now because Sammy's so young. But you guys kind of get away with it. But I've been kind of throwing things on my TV lately at you because you kind of upset me for a couple of days. Why did you character? Now I'm gonna be the police. Why did you character be so mad at Sierra? I mean, you know, for me, I thought that was a slap in the face for all the fans because of the relationship you and Sierra had.
Abe wasn't mad at Abe wasn't angry with Sierra. He understood. Abe is very protective of his son, and since Theo struggles with autism and sometimes his social cues aren't as strong as other people may be, so he's just being protective of his son. He had nothing. In fact, Abe adores Sierra. But he knew that the potential was there for Theo to get hurt, and Theo might not catch the clues that you or I might catch in that kind of relationship. So that's his concern. It had nothing to do with any kind of dislike of Sierra. Just the opposite. He really loves Sierra dearly, but he also loves his son, and he wanted to protect his son from being hurt.
Okay, you're forgiven. But what I got mad at with the writers, Sierra had this rape, and it was so beautiful for us. It was one of those things I will never forget watching on TV, and she did a great job, Vivian. But what kind of made me mad is, you know, I thought John and you and woman and all the guys who loved you throughout her life, because both gone were, you know, went up there and said to him, you know, I am so sorry this happened, you know, and I just been waiting for one of you four to go kick Streets' ass then for me. But there hasn't been any kind of remark about, were you shocked there wasn't, or were you expecting how they wrote this?
Well, you know, I suspect that, you know, there may or may not. It's always a little, it's sometimes a little difficult to talk in depth about story because we're so far ahead. And so, you know, in my head, and Abe has moved to another place now. And so often, except in broad strokes, it's a little difficult to talk about, well, this happened then, and so you just have to kind of dig in my memory and think of what was going on at that moment. But I do know it's a challenge to write a soap. It's a very difficult thing, and creating this huge world in which you're not only you have a lot of characters that have their own thoughts and desires, but you have to keep all that in mind. When you're writing a show, you have to keep everybody's motivations in mind. You have to keep every character's history in mind. So those are all very, very difficult things. And when something happens in a story, there could be 10 or 15 characters that are directly or indirectly involved in that story.
Mm-hmm.
And, keeping all that in mind and giving everybody the moment they should have is very, very difficult to do.
Well, yeah, and it's like when the kids went to prom and, you know, they sort of got arrested. Okay, they did get arrested, but you know what?
Yeah, they did
in
get
my
arrested,
view,
right.
You know, in my view, they were sticking up for Sierra and Theo. So in my view, they, you know, kind of did the right thing. Okay, maybe they went a little too far, but
yeah, well, vandalism is never good.
Well,
I know,
but just the way, you know, just the way that it was presented, and you know, all of them got themselves in jail, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, wait, no one can arrest my kids because well, you've been in the police force. Woman is CEO's uncle. Rafe is probably going to be CEO's stepdad if I have to anything to do with it. Steve wasn't called because of Kayla. And John, I was shocked not to see John there because I thought the moment John and, you know, anyone else, you know, walked in, it would have been, you know, a better result. And so when you all filming all those, you know, kids scenes, I mean, they are not kids anymore. They are adults. How is it to do that with, you know, all these young ones that, you know, are just incredible right now?
Well, it's fun. You know, for one thing, they're all wonderful kids. And you talk about the aging of the kids, which is always difficult because you have relationships with the individuals, let alone your character having relationships with their character. But you know, the young kids that we had, Terrell and Lauren, were just tremendous, and they're missed constantly. But on the other hand, the kids that we have now that have come in and taken their place, they are fantastic as well. And Kyler is so sweet, and Vivian, and I just, you know, I'm just thrilled. I'm just thrilled with them, and there's more potential for story. The truth of the matter is, you can't have a 10-year-old doing stories in which they're potentially locked up in jail. But you know, an 18-year-old or a 16-year-old, you can certainly do that. So there's a lot more. There's a lot more potential, and the fact that you know the history of these characters, and that they are that those histories are being carried through in a reasonable way, and that for instance, Theo and Sierra have this strong relationship that they've had.
Yeah.
Since children, and I, you know, we saw what was going to happen. I'm sure people that have watched the show, like you, could tell 5 years ago that eventually Theo and Sarah are going to have to be together in one way or another. So I love these kids and love working with them. It's fun.
Well, yeah, and. You know, yeah, I saw it. I kind of saw it the day they were born. But then you kind of had the Offer Babies Festival and was really interesting to us. But that baby storyline, I thought it was never going to end. I mean, but, you know, as the fan know what was really going on. But you guys didn't know what was going on from your point of view. And I thought, you know, but I thought it was a really well-rounded story, because at first I didn't think, you know, you were Theo's father the way they almost, you know, had the storyline going with Stefano, you know, kind of, you know, putting a baby on the black market. Yeah. And, but, you know, now that we know Theo's used, how was doing that, because that was a very intense storyline for everyone.
Yeah, well, you know, Stefano manipulates everything. He's had more children that he has, not only that he's fathered himself, but he's manipulated almost everybody else's child on the show. And so he's behind a lot of that. And, you know, a lot of people weren't raising their own children for a while because Stefano would manipulate them in one way or another. But you know, the more intense a story is as an actor, the more fun it is for you to do. The more layers a story has, it's more fun for you to do, and it's part of the joy that I have is actually at home before we shoot the show is breaking down the script and working on the scene and what that scene means and what the undercurrents to that scene are and what I can bring. And I'm always happy when I talk to members of the audience that they, you know, they've gotten something from that performance that wasn't obvious from the dialogue, but was something that I had hoped to bring into the scene, and they got it.
Well, yeah, and that was really well-rounded. And the storyline I always thought should have never been even thought of was when all of you guys kind of got cured and then all of you guys were, like, on the island. And and then I cried over your death. Because, were you one of the people that died and then came back, right?
Right. Yes,
yeah,
on
so
the island, yeah.
I cried over, you know, the loss of Abe, and the moment that, you know, I think the fans, you know, Abe, this was before we really had Twitter, Facebook, whatever. All we could do is, like, call in and write in. And I always think, wait a moment. You know, the fans brought you guys back because, you know, no one could buy the story. No one could buy the story like, oh, Marlena's is a real killer. And I'm like, oh, come on. Come on, people. And then when, you know, you guys are on this island, I'm like, okay, people, they're on this island. They need their help. On you're going to go. And for me, that's when I thought, you know, I was really scared when, you know, they put all these wonderful legendary actors, you know, out of work for this. I never will understand why that had to happen.
Yeah, well, it kept everybody watching, you know. As sometimes happens, because story demands it, if the people being killed are people that have just shown up and they've been on the show for a week or two, and then they're killed, the audience is not as invested in those characters. So when we see these characters that the audience has watched for years suddenly disappearing, then you begin to watch and you wonder what's going on here, and why is my favorite character no longer there? What's going on? You see that much more these days with shows like Game of Thrones and those kinds of shows. It's become a fairly typical way of telling story, and Days kind of led the way in that, and didn't happen very often prior to that.
Well, yeah, I love it when everyone gets a book together, because I've heard from a lot of Days actors that it's so quick now, is, you know, do your lines and get the show thing done for that day, and go back and, you know, do a couple more days. And do you wish it would go back to only, you know, taping like a month or two in advance? Or what do you think about them, you know, going 5 or 6 months in advance?
Well, personally, I think I'd like to see a little shorter lead time. 5 or 6 months is a long time, but you know, there are reasons that are a bit above my pay grade that they're doing that, and it doesn't change what we have to do. It doesn't change our work every day, but. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that lead time maybe cut down to 12 weeks as opposed to whatever it is now, the 6 month lead. But
yeah, 5 6 months.
We're still doing the show. We're doing the show no matter how far ahead we're shooting it.
Well, yes, but you know, but you guys are doing so wonderful. But I think they need to bring Abe back in the centerfold more, and, you know, give him a, you know, hot and heavy storyline again. And, you know, while they are at it, they could, you know, find another love of Abe's wife. And I finally figured out, last night it came to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I think you should go after Eddie's ex-wife, and then it would make Eddie so jealous he cannot see straight, and then that's how I could get my favorite two guys in the scene.
Well, there you go.
You know, because a lot of people are mad that you don't have a love life. I don't know if you are aware of that, but all of us are like, come on, give Abe something. Give him a love life. It's bad enough you kill Lexi off of him. And, that in itself, was awesome. And also, when you had to do the, you know, Stefano dying and my BFF and my second mom, Maggie, loved Stefano. And we were always fight because I would be on Team Victor. And she would be like, Stefano. And what was it like for you knowing that he might not ever be able to come back? Because you and Zoe were incredible on-screen little rivals, and you guys, were really good. I mean, you guys didn't really like each other sometimes.
Yes.
But how was that for you? I mean...
Well, that's always difficult. Yes, I loved working with Joe. That was always a special treat, and we miss him. We all miss not having Joe around, and so hopefully in the future at some point. You know, Joe will be back, or Stephen, you know, the phoenix always rises, so who knows what the future is going to hold. But just personally, that was always something that I enjoyed doing. We both loved rising to the challenge of working with each other. And so those became special days when Joe and I would have scenes. And I can truthfully say, and he and I have talked about it a great deal, that that I really enjoyed that. You know, as I do with Teo, I love having the scenes with Teo. So I'm very hopeful that the future will hold more of that as well.
Well, I mean, yeah, but Teo, another good friend of ours. So, yeah, I love it that he's back. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just having a problem with the math. All of a sudden that Andre, you know, 7-0 had Andre. And then,
right.
20 years later, I had Tony, but they look exactly alike. And so I calculated it. Stefano would have had to have been 14 or 15.
Well, I don't know what to say. You know, Tony's dead, so I don't know what to say with that. So,
well,
Andre,
you know it. You know, don't get me wrong. I love Teo. I love you, Teo. You know that. But there has been time in the last couple of months that I kind of wanted to punch, him out, Andre, for everything he's been doing. And I'm like, so, you know, I only got mad at you that once. But I've been mad at Andre for, like, you know, the past 6 months. So, you know,
well, you're supposed to be mad at him. That's you're supposed to get mad at him. That's the way that's supposed to work. But it's going to be interesting. And I think, once again, it's the balance of all of that and having all these characters that have their own motivations and reasons for doing things. And, you know, I embrace those moments actually when Abe is a little not quite as nice and good as he is frequently. It's kind of nice now and then to have a little edge. So I don't mind that. But once again, his the reasoning and his getting upset with Theo were I think a parent's reasons. So that wasn't. That wasn't Abe doing anything other than being a concerned parent.
Well, yeah, and my heart broke for you when you had to tell Theo that Stefano was gone, because one really liked him. No one really liked him. You know, I mean, some people did, but the thing was with Stefano, his grandkids, you know, Mel, and I always, Maggie and I talked about it, is if Stefano would have been more in the story and he heard about, you know, Theo getting bullied, you know, that might not be a good day for that kid. And so was it hard for you to, as a character, to tell your son, oh, by the way, you know, your grandfather, you know, is dead, but do it in a way because, you know, he loved him and not a lot of people did.
Yeah, well, of course that's hard. That's always hard. But, you know, people, children love their parents and their grandparents, and no matter what they do, and sometimes their parents and grandparents are despicable, and yet children support them and love them. It is a fascinating truth of being a human being, and as long as they're not bad toward them, as long as they're not abusing them in a physical or emotional way, then the child tends to love that parent in spite of or grandparent in spite of what they might do to other people. And you've seen that in life. I've seen that in life.
Oh yeah.
And Theo, I think, along with most of Stefano's children until they grow older, is, you know, basically been hidden away from his more diabolical and complex side of his personality. So the young kids don't see that as much as we adults do.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, I like it because, yeah, you know, with my grandfather, you know, yeah, he did something. He did a lot of things stupid. But at the end of the day, I always went on his side regardless what it was. And that was hard because I always, you know, I think about that on soaps. Like, you know, I love how, you know, Stefano was more human and Victor was more human when they are around their kids and grandkids. I think that is
and of course,
really
has
good.
I was going to say Victor has a little more, has a little clearer soft side than Stefano does. But I think that's it. And it doesn't mean that the children are on their side as supporting their law breaking. It just means their grandparent or parent, they still love them and they care for them, but they don't necessarily support their illegal activities.
Well, yeah, and you know when the bullying story came up, I was hoping it was going to be real written, and it was. And I loved that moment when you got mad. I mean, you wasn't mad at Theo, but you go, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't this have to come from you, new sister? Why didn't you tell me?
Right.
And I got why he didn't tell you. I got why none of the kids went home and say, this is what was happening, and then they took it, you know. They, you know, kind of put seats in a little basement place, and you know, let Sierra beat the, you know, crap out of them. But I understood why, as having younger nieces and nephews, I understand why Theo didn't, you know, tell Abe.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah,
well, kids don't
do that. Because...
You know, kids don't do that, right? And they, you know, they're always afraid. You know, no matter what, it's that whole idea of when something bad goes on. You know, if, I don't know if you remember this in elementary school or something, and you think you're going to be blamed for it, even though you had nothing at all to do with it. Somebody in your class did something, and you're afraid. Oh, they're going to blame me, and I didn't have anything to do with it. And I think that's fairly universal with kids everywhere, and they don't want their parents to know things. I think that extends into adulthood. That's why nobody wants their parents to know that they did something that their parents would not be proud of. You could be 50 years old, and you still would not want your parents to know that you did something that they wouldn't be proud of. So that stays with us forever.
Yeah, I mean... You know, I'm an open book online. So before I take calls, I got to tell you something funny. My brother and I and my mom and dad and my grandma and, you know, Annabelle and Sophie were like two or three at the time. We all went out for dinner. And my brother decided at that moment to tell all parents and grandma everything that we did growing up, like everything we did. Like, and I'm like looking at him, I'm like, shut up. And I, you know, kicked him across the table, and all he said was, ow. But and then a couple of months ago, my grandma came to me and goes, gosh, I thought all of you guys were perfect.
They don't want to know that either. Parents don't want to know what you did. I don't want to know what my son did. Parents don't want
well,
to.
Well, yeah,
you know,
and...
If you're grown up, you're grown up, and whatever happened in the past happened, and nobody wants to know what it was. So, tell your brother. He needs to be quiet. Tell your brother to be quiet.
Yes, no, yes. No, because You know, I will pay him $5 to close the note to, and kids, don't try this at home. But
exactly,
I had a good
exactly.
reason. I had a good reason. It's because the main Song Blonde thing was going on Days of Our Life, and I had to be home for it. Because every time I recorded my, you know, thing, you know, would run out. So, yeah, that
right.
was my excuse. But one more question before I bring, you know, the calls on. How are we going to live without you for 3 weeks in August? I'm not happy about this.
Oh, you're talking about
I'm really not happy about it.
Ah, yeah. Well, you know, every 4 years we go through that. Every 2 years, I guess, because of the Winter Olympics. So it happens every 2 years. And you know, I'm a big fan of the Olympics. So I'm not particularly happy that the show is not on during that period of time. I know that the fans are going to have withdrawal. I'm going to have withdrawal.
Yes.
I tape the show too and watch it. You know, the Olympics are a great event. I love them. I've watched them for too many years now. And so I you know, at this point, I think it's happened enough that hopefully the fans will stay attuned to the show. You know, fortunately, these days, and you may mention this earlier, when you were talking about everybody dying on the island, but with the internet, it's difficult to be out of touch. So people can talk to each other. They can tweet,
oh, yeah.
and Instagram, and all of that. So with the internet, it's the show can stay alive, and the heartbeat of the show can continue to tick while we're on this little short break.
So when the Olympics happen, do you guys just close down production, or do you still work, or is it like close down?
No, we'll be working. No,
really?
We'll be working. We'll be working. That's one of the reasons we have, one of the reasons we're shooting so far ahead, is that we'll have those shows. Those shows are already shot. They're already in the can. They're ready to be aired at that time, and I will say, and I'm not speaking out of turn there, but when the Olympics are over, some very exciting things are going to be happening on the show, so everybody should really get ready for something very, very exciting after the Olympics.
Well, yeah, I remember 4 years ago with the Olympics, and it went black when Sammy and Lucas and Eve, they were all in this room, and they were kind of up high. And the last moment, that's where they left us. And I'm like, come on, that's
yeah.
mean. But, I'm going to bring on Carlos, and because I don't want
right.
to get dead, and I will be dead, believe me. Hi, David.
Hi, James.
Hey, David, how are you?
I want to say I love Generations. I know I told you that. I'm going to tell you that. I love Generations. I watched it from beginning to end. Because of groundbreaking stories.
Oh, well, wonderful.
And, yeah. Did you work with Vivica Fox on there? I know that was their first show. Vivica Fox.
Political Facts?
Vivica Fox. Vivica A. Fox.
You might be cutting out. You might be cutting out a little bit with me, David.
Yeah,
I'm not,
David, you might be cutting out.
I'm sorry, you might be, I'm not sure I caught all that. Did you say something about a fact?
You know, David.
No, Vivica A. Fox.
Oh, Vivica A. Fox.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, David. Vivica, oh, yes. In fact, you're going to see she's got one of the big movies of the summer coming out.
No, Independence Day, I'm going to see that, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to go see that, too. I'm so sorry. Yeah, Vivica, I'm very, very, very happy for her and very proud of her. And I'm looking forward to seeing that film. I'm very much looking forward to seeing that film. Yeah, I was just thinking, it's interesting you said that, because I just saw something earlier today about Vivica and about Independence Day, and it just made me think that so many people have done very, very well from that cast, the cast of Generation.
Mm.
That's a very, very successful cast.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And what was your memory of working with Tom and Alice?
Well, you know, we always miss Tom and Alice, and that's one of the things we were talking a little bit, Carly and I were talking a little bit earlier about the Christmases at the Horton House, and which is always a remembrance of Tom and Alice, and I think that's one of the many, many, many good things about Days of Our Lives being so tied to tradition, is that the memory of Tom and Alice is always alive on the show, and Christmas is the time that Tom and Alice become the focal point of that remembrance. And so, no, Tom and Alice are always there with us. And I feel so lucky. You know, we have so many people that have come on the show since both Mac and Francis passed away, Mac several years before Francis, and they didn't have the good fortune of knowing them, and I feel so fortunate that I'm one of the people that did know them and got to work with them.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
In fact, I should remind you, it's a good time to remind everybody, you know, when you go on Encore TV, and there are a lot of different other places where you can see older movies. You know, Mac did some wonderful old films, from Wake Island to The Great Gatsby. And I urge you all to, you know, go out and take a look at the movies.
Yeah. But thank you. You're my favorite character on Days.
Oh, that's always sweet to hear. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for answering my question. Thank you.
All right. Absolutely.
Okay, David, I'm going to put you on hold. And I'm bringing Bobby on. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, James. Great to talk to you again.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm going to say I'm enjoying the Theo and Sierra relationship on the show. And it just kind of go back to what you were talking about earlier on what we saw in the last couple of years with what Lauren and Terrell brought to the table as little kids with them. And now we're seeing it now, because I just think, especially with all the trouble and problems that Sierra have been through, with the fact that Aiden's back, and with the fact that the situation with Chase in the hospital, and for all I care,
you're right.
I just hope that he doesn't make it, because of what he did to her. I'm just still upset.
Yes, of course.
Right. I'm just more supportive and just been impressed with what Sierra had done than I have with Theo. But Kyla is doing a great job, and I could relate to his situation, relate to the autism thing with myself having autism, as I told you all before.
Right. And, right. Well, I think Tyler is a wonderful young man to begin with, as is Vivian. But
right.
Kyler, in my mind, has one of the most difficult jobs on the show.
Right.
And so for him to embrace that role and play it in a way that touches you is wonderful. And thank you for those words.
Right. He reminds me a little bit of what Brighton is doing now on Young and Restless at the Bond. Because when I saw him first time 10 years ago, I thought, this is the same kid that was on Family Matters just 15 years earlier. And now look at what he had done now over on Young and the Restless. He reminds me a little bit of Brighton a little bit.
Well, that's great.
As far as his
that's
acting talent.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm a fan of Kyler. I think he's done a wonderful job.
Right. And I wish you all the best of luck in going into the summer. And I'll keep on watching, especially after the Olympic break, because who knows what might happen. I'll continue watching until NBC decides that,
Don't say it.
Well, Well, until I just... I don't think NBC is going to do anything right now, because I'm not going to jinx you all right now. I'm not jinxing you all right now, because you all have a great lineup.
Well, we assume that Days of Our Lives is going to be around for a long, long time. And I will remind everybody that after the Olympics, the show is going to come back in a very, very exciting exciting way with some great stories. And so make sure you keep that VCR tuned and watch Days After the Olympics.
Well, I'm always saying the DVR, because I can watch LeBron, if he doesn't win the NBA title for Cleveland, win at least a gold medal for USA if their game's on at 1 o'clock and DVR the game, as well as Young Restless and Bowling Beautiful.
Good for you.
And just come back to watching the basketball game when I get home from work and watch Young Restless and Bowling Beautiful during the weekend as opposed to on Pop. And I'm still a little bit mad that I can't watch Days at night on Pop. But, hey, you know what? To make up for you guys, I'll start watching Days when I get home from work. Every night after I get home from work.
Well, I'm sorry about the Pop situation as well, but I'll be watching LeBron with you. In fact, who are you picking, Golden State or the Cavs?
Oh my gosh! I just hope that Cleveland's going to win, because I'm going to be out of town tomorrow at some bar in Raleigh, so I'm going to be ruining it. So I'm hoping to wear a LeBron jersey, and I just hope that the Steph people doesn't come after me. I know you guys are more Clippers and Lakers fans, but hey, you gotta just do it for the state of California for the Warriors, even though the Clippers are not in the finals and the Lakers, they're just on the rebuilding stage in the post Kobe era.
Well, the Lakers will be back. They got a new coach,
and Walton did great with Golden State during the first couple of months, and that's what matters.
Well,
I'm
a diehard Laker fan, and but Golden State is fun to watch, and I think this is going to be quite a series. Could be seven games.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think we're going to go seven. And the only problem I have with that is going to go up against Allison's movie on Sunday night if that is a game seven. So it's going to be hard to control the DVR between that and the Murder, She Baked mystery that's coming out.
That's true. But you can take multiple shows, right?
You're right. And speaking about Allison, next time you see her, tell her I said hello and that I think she's doing great in her post-stage career as far as the Hallmark Channel movies go.
Well, that's great, Bobby. Thank you so much.
And you have a good night.
Bobby, I will put you back on, buddy.
Okay.
Okay, and my favorite BFF, the only one that, you know, I listen to when I'm about to do something really bad. Yeah, Maggie to everyone. Yay!
Hello?
Hi, Abe.
I know.
This is our situation.
How
are
you? Well, Carly never does anything really bad, does she?
Yeah.
She said you're the only one she listens to when she does something bad, but I was thinking...
Yeah. I try.
Yeah.
I really try.
Only on occasion.
When she gets a bad idea. And then I kick it out. You know.
Uh-huh.
It goes out.
Yeah,
I won't let her rebound. I have to give it off support.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I'm sportsman.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, and
yes, indeed.
If we do the bad thing, you know, she stupidly told my mom, "Oh well, don't worry, we won't commit any felonies." So lately, all my ideas have been like felony related.
Well, you don't want the felony related ideas.
No,
that's for sure.
No,
get rid of
no.
those ideas.
Maybe got any questions for James?
This is kind of a crazy question. I love Lexi. I love your relationship with her. Do you ever get to see her?
We talk. We haven't seen each other for a while. In fact, I have promised to take her to lunch, and I haven't done it, but we text, and so we're definitely in touch, and... Mm-hmm. I just love her as well, and miss her a great deal, and but no, that's not a crazy question. That's a good question.
No, okay. It was because I'm into the storyline and the work everybody does, and I understand how much effort is put in there, and it makes it so real. It's like,
well, that's great.
It really,
that's good to hear. Well, everybody works hard. We probably have, I mean, you see the actors who are in front of the camera, but there are probably 300 to 400 people, maybe more, behind the camera that are doing a variety of different jobs that all go into getting that show on the air every day. It's pretty extraordinary. We had the 50th anniversary party last November, which was, by the way, one of the best parties I've ever been to in my life. And it was packed. It was packed from people from the past who've been associated with the show, both in front and behind the camera. And, you know, just probably 2,000 people overall. And
wow.
That's what it takes. That's what it takes.
Mm. Oh, well, yeah, I heard that party.
Wow.
You know, I heard that party. You guys kind of closed it down. I heard that Dave's party was like a party no one has ever seen before.
It was one of the best I've ever been to in my life. It was really, really a tremendous party. I've been to a few good ones, but it's definitely up there at number one.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, first off, your son, on Generation. I would love one day if the two of you could be on the show together.
Oh, now who's that? Christoph. You talking about Christoph?
Yeah, Drew's daddy.
Well, Christoph remains one of my favorite people. And, it would be nice, wouldn't it? People are always talking about a reunion for Generations, and that would be a fun thing to do. I'd love to do that.
Mm-hmm. Have you talked to my TV husband lately?
I haven't. I haven't. When did I run into Christoph? I think it's been, it's been a few months now, but, we're always happy to see each other. I know I'm happy to see him whenever I get the chance.
Okay, let's go to the phone line. Okay, Carol.
Well, you know, and he told me to tell you hi, because I told him you were coming on. And also, the thing Maggie and I always talk about is, you know when someone dies in real life and then, you know, it takes them like 8 or 9 years to, months to, you know, get a really good death story for that character. How did you feel with the whole Frances Reed? Because the fans knew that she was, you know, not here anymore. And I kind of laughed when they kept saying, Alice went to bed. Oh, you know, Alice, went in the kitchen and make more donuts, which I would really love that recipe. How did you do it? Because you were amazing when you came over, and, you know, you were one of the first people that came over. And how was that for, you know, everyone?
Well, it's always difficult, you know. The death of a character is always difficult, but the death of a real life person, because you're celebrating both lives. You're celebrating that person that you knew and Frances was, of course, one of the most alive people that you would ever meet, and an icon. I mean, she's one of the great people in our industry and what we do for a living. And it also helps put in perspective that real person's life. You know, when you're grieving for Alice, it helps you grieve for Frances. And so we're kind of lucky in a way that we're able to celebrate both an actor, a person, and the character that so many other millions of people grew to love over the years.
And you're doing
well, it was just the same thing like Jeannie Cooper, you know, and then we lost. We lost like 3 people in that 1 year. And I'm like, stop it.
Yeah.
You know, and this year, I know you like music, What do you think of, you know, everything going on from, oh, and if you see Lauren Coswell, tell her I'm sorry about the death of David Bowie, because I know she loves
well, of course.
David Bowie.
Yeah. Well, she, you know, she has a big picture of David Bowie in her dressing room. You know, she's a huge, yes, a huge fan of David mm-hmm. Bowie, and obviously that's a difficult loss, as you know, as a fan of anything. But yeah, mm-hmm. a tough year. B.B. King passed away, and Prince, of course, and David
yes.
Bowie, and then you know, then outside the music industry, we lost a giant in Muhammad Ali just recently. So
oh, yes.
it's been a difficult year for huge personalities, big personalities,
oh,
and
really
we were lucky to have met. We're lucky. I've been lucky to have met some of those people, and I remember fondly meeting Muhammad Ali in Louisville, as a matter of fact.
Really?
And so you know, those contributions that every one of those people made to the world and to their own lasting memory gives them immortality. They will always
mm-hmm.
be with us.
Well, yeah, and. You know, so, you know, yeah, like Maggie and I, we talk about this, you know, like 1 week it was like 3 in a row, and then the next week it was like 4 in a row, and I'm saying, okay, I hope we are not the next for dropping like flies, because I got really freaked out. Like every time I tune on the news, he said, oh, this person passed away last night. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah. Well, you know the old saying about threes
mm-hmm.
and when it comes to famous people dying, that often it comes in threes, and it does seem mm-hmm. that way quite frequently. But mm-hmm. you know, those are all big losses and all mm-hmm. Difficult losses. And and I think because each one of those four people, B.B. King and mm-hmm. David Bowie and Prince and Muhammad Ali, all contributed so much to us. And in the case of the three musicians, you know, they're part of that life soundtrack that we're so lucky to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear their music every day. You put it on. I have it on my – I have all of their music, all three of them. I have their music mm-hmm. on my iPhone, and I listen to mm-hmm. it while I walk the dog, and so they're always present.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, and this, you know, is this, you know, when Don Henley passed away earlier this year, that
yes,
one threw
yes,
me
Don
for
Henley,
the no. that threw me for the biggest loop.
Yep.
And you know, mm-hmm. I didn't know it was true until I go to Entertainment Tonight. Because that's the only entertainment source besides myself I trust. And when it was on there, I knew it was true. I'm like, oh, great. It's true. Crap.
Yeah,
but,
it's true. It's great.
Yeah, I love one another. Well, we're still here and enjoy.
Exactly. And
life.
So can you give us just a tad bit, a little tad bit, okay, can you at least tell us if they are doing something major for July 4th? Like, you guys used to do the whole backyard
barbecue
stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. We have done some pretty good July 4th shows, and I can't really tell you that. Actually, if I wasn't in it, if there is
it's a secret.
A big July 4th. But what I can tell everybody, and since we've talked about this a little bit, with the Olympics, I can tell you that after the Olympics, the show is going to be very, very exciting. That I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want everybody to make sure they stay tuned, or if they
mm-hmm.
turn off their TVs for a little bit. I hope they don't. I hope they watch the Olympics. But if you Days of Our Lives is going to be very exciting after the Olympics.
Well, you know, yeah, I know how people are getting ready for Olympics. I'm just waiting for football season to start. I'm done waiting because I want our boys, the Seahawks, to go and kick some butt and take home the Super Bowl again. You know, we can. I mean,
well,
you know,
could.
We just
they
lost.
Could. They could.
I mean,
yeah. They
yeah
could. Well,
I mean,
I'm trying to.
Just, who's your favorite team,
well,
by the way, in football?
Well, it's a very good question because, you know, I grew up in Kansas and I grew up a Chiefs fan, but then I moved to Los Angeles. I never became a Raiders fan. I was never a Raiders fan. I was sort of in between on the Rams, but the Rams are back, and I'm kind of trying to become a Rams fan now, a little bit. Even though I still find myself rooting for the Chiefs in the background, but
sure,
you know, I'm always when it comes to college anything, I'm a Kansas Jayhawk fan. But in pro sports, Lakers and Dodgers, absolutely, without question. But I'm kind of trying to talk myself into becoming a Rams fan again.
Well,
well, yeah,
how
I mean,
it turns out.
Well, you know, because you know, no.
Well, it's been
maybe
20
we'll
years.
Tell.
We haven't had a team. What's that?
Maybe we'll tell you the day the Seahawks lost, and my heart was broken. My heart was totally broken, and I was not okay. I was so mad. And then I go on to do, and someone has the balls to say, well, there's always next year. I did not want to hear that right now. I did not want to hear that at that moment.
All but one team can always say there's always next year. But, you know, I love watching the Seahawks play. I think the Seahawks are a lot of fun to watch play, and we'll see what they do. They got to replace the load next year, so see what happens. They've got to replace him,
you know,
though.
It used to be when I was in middle school, high school, I would never tell that I was a Seahawks fan because we kept losing. And but now, you know, like this whole city lights up whenever the Seahawks are playing, and this whole city gets so excited. It's really good, you know, really good to see that and the Mariners. Unless the Mariners and the Seahawks are playing at the same night at the same time, people don't even try and go downtown Seattle. It won't happen. But Maggie and I want to ask you if you will be happy come on, let's say, the end of September for, you know, for the little thing you cannot talk about that now. Then you can talk about.
I think absolutely. We'll think about September, maybe early in October, coming back. And
well, yeah, because you know, like, and if you see A, if you happen to see A in the house, just say Carly loves him, and give him a big hug, and you know, because
he's a great guy, isn't he?
I don't think they understand my my love for Zayety is like crazy, and so I'm working on a campaign.
Cheating on Christoph.
Yeah,
you're
well,
cheating.
You know what? Yes, I know. But you know,
there's just too much temptation out there in the world,
but
right?
No, yeah, but we are starting a campaign tonight to get Zayety back in daytime. I don't care what I have to do, who I have to call. There's an abomination
no
that
felony.
He's not in daytime. And I know it's for my own little self-esteem. I'm aware of that. But, you know, other people need him back, too.
Well,
I'm sure
that's shared
last,
by a lot of people.
You know, our last
I'm sure it's
person,
shared by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but on our last question, I've been dying to, Maggie, remember that question we wanted to ask him?
Yes.
Do you know what it is from last time, remember? You and I were kicking ourselves.
Well, mine was going to be about generations, about Christoph.
Okay.
Seeing one another again, talking together, if they do a show together. Remember? We
well,
were talking
yeah.
About
I'd love to. I do a show with Christoph anytime. I'd love to do it.
All you need is a phone.
Well, yeah, but no. Oh, my question is, how, you know, how would your legacy, you know, 8-10 years down the road on dates?
Oh, that one.
Well, I you know, it would be wonderful, one, to have days around 10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm confident that it will.
Mm-hmm.
It will be. I guess at that point we'd be looking at having grandchildren at some point through one of his many children, either Brandon or Lonnie or Theo, and how their lives go. But I'd like to see, Abe and his then comparatively new wife, and see what how that relationship is going. And I'm sure it won't be a smooth road, because these relationships seldom are.
Never are.
But
never are.
But I'd like to see him deal with some crisis, as mayor of Salem. I think he'll probably still be mayor, but maybe by that time he'll be the governor of the state. Who knows?
Well, you know, so now that you're the mayor of Salem, why can't you, press soldiers on Eric Brady? Well, I know Eric Brady just wanted to say for the death of my Daniel with, you know, we were mad about.
Mm.
But now that you're the mayor, don't you have any clout? Can you just stop bad things from, like, happening to all people? Because
well, that would be what was the Tom
Miracle
Cruise movie, Minority Report, where you stop people from committing crimes before they commit it. That might be a little bit of an issue, but and then it wouldn't be fun. Then you wouldn't have to watch the show.
Are you aware?
Abe stopped everything.
Are you aware that your good friend Hope UBFF kind of killed Stefano, and she kind of killed the wrong guy? Are you aware that is going down?
I wouldn't say Abe is currently aware of it, but you know there might be some awareness dawning slowly. But right now only a couple people know that.
Well, no, I mean, everyone loves your relationship with Hope over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it's one of the best guy friend relationships that you guys have. Because no matter what, her and Jennifer, has always been, with you. And I love seeing the Houghton, couple friendship. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was very sweet, I thought, when Abe and Hope watched their kids go off to prom together. I like that scene at the end very, very much. And that was, two old friends who grew up together themselves and now watching their children grow up together. I'm not always happy with my own work, but I thought that was very, I liked that a lot.
Well, and we also, if you want us to do something about Lonnie, leaving Dave, just tell us and we will, because
when we heard
that was going down, we were not happy.
Happy people. I tell this to the audience all the time, and let your feelings be known. As I said, now we have Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And all kinds of ways for people to voice their opinions, and one of the audience has more clout than they think they do, and always good for the audience to let their feelings be known.
Because you got her I wanted that relationship to continue to grow.
Absolutely.
It was so sweet. And then at the prom too. Remember, she was. I think she was taking pictures.
Yes, she was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she was. She was taking pictures of us all. So it was a sweet family moment for both the Bradys and the Carvers. And every moment culminates a long journey, and that was kind of a lifelong journey for both Abe and Hope to see their children at that moment.
It was. And before you go, I have tidied up your bill at the Brady Pub, because I don't think people are paying at the Brady Pub. So
it's surprising that the landlord hasn't kicked them out, isn't it? because they can't pay the rent.
No, because every time, like, someone in there and they are ordering food, and then at the end of the meal, they just walk out. I'm like, check, please. Yeah, I'm like.
Very good point. Very good point. Point well taken.
So, please tell Cordelia or something. Right now, you owe about $10,000.
He's
American now. Yeah, you owe about $1,000. I mean, did you guys ever talk about that? Like, when you were doing the scenes of the Brady Pup, did you guys ever go?
Oh, yeah. You'd be astounded at what we talk about. Absolutely.
Well, because I thought, I'm like, okay, Zon, you have more money than Abe right now. Just plan the money down. And no one's, like, planting the money down. And I'm like, okay, maybe let's go to that restaurant. And, you know, we can eat for free. Yeah. But we love you, girl. We love you on here. And we could keep you all night, right, Maggie?
Yeah, I would love it.
Yes. But
well,
no,
thank you. Well, it's great to talk to you, and we'll plan on talking again in the fall.
Perfect. Okay, and
thank
have
you.
A great night, and just go relax.
Absolutely.
And I hope it's not too hot in California for you guys.
No, it's great. You know, I'm very lucky to live here.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. You guys take care. We'll talk
you
soon.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Have a
thank
great
you
night.
Very much.
Good night now. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. Every time he's on, I want him on more and more.
Well, yes. And Greg Cresson. And, you know. So, everyone's on, and we are staying, like, a couple of minutes because Carly's voice is crappy right now.
Carly, I have a little bit of correction on what you told James about the eagle that died. It wasn't Don Henley. It was Glenn Frey.
That's right.
Ah, shit.
I just want to correct you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I say Don Henley?
So don't be hearing
it.
It
came out of your mouth,
and
I couldn't pull it
out. That Don Henley died, because that would be the next internet rumor, and I will tell him
God.
To stop it. I mean, you have enough problem already with people on the internet bashing you. You don't need to just report a celebrity death that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, and, you know, again, I'm sorry, people. And, there's a couple of things I want to talk about on the show right now. Everyone, there's been, you know, a lot of stuff going down around Daytime After Dark. And listen, Daytime After Dark, we never make fun of anything, and we, you know, don't ever say anything bad about the actors or actresses, you know. We know they are, you know, there to, you know, do their job. And just a lot of the accusations told me my soul need to, you know, luckily it's died down. But I'm just saying, before you put anything on media, why don't you go ask the person before it happens? And, I've been waiting to say that for 2 weeks. And I just didn't think it was appropriate on my birthday, so to bring it up.
Right.
And I know all of us, like, all of us are, like, the most dysfunctional family ever on this. So, but it kind of makes it real. And,
You mean we're not real?
Well, no, I mean, okay.
We are real, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, well, but, you know, I just want to let you know. You know, yeah, so if you hear...
We look good.
Mm-hmm.
We actually make you look good.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the view should be. A bunch of people talking on the phone and getting into arguments. Not on TV. This is what the view wants to be.
Well, you know,
exactly.
And so, you know, and yeah, people, you know what I got really upset about a couple of weeks ago? was, you know, people, if you don't want to put anything on Twitter, and, you know, you need to think about before you do it, but if you made a comment, I don't know, 7 years ago, you know, don't go after the person then. And you know, I'm sick of the fanboys. I am sick of, you know, everyone putting down Sunny. Well, you know, Zillian, you know, gives a pass for everything. And, you know, Maggie loves Mo like I love Kristoff. So, you know, end it because it's so stupid, right, Maggie?
Absolutely. Positively. They're doing their job. It's a role they're playing. And Sunny, well, he always gets the short end of the stick, in my opinion.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
I've been with you guys for a year and a half, and I've enjoyed having friends I can talk to that I communicate every day on Facebook about stuff other than soaps, like maybe Maggie and you, Carly, with sports, or David with anything in general. And I just don't want to have people just putting down the shows or making fun of you or anything like that, Carly. And I'm standing up for that because whoever is doing that is not thinking right. And they obviously need to get a life and stop listening to our show. That's the bottom line.
Well, yeah. And the way I've been feeling is, okay, you know, I love my show. It's my baby. But, you know, for other people to try and take me down and other, you know, you people, you know who they are. And, you know, I'm done. You know what? And then I try to be nice. It does not work sometimes in this business to be nice. So then I try being busy, and that kind of, you know, goes south. So I'm just saying, people, why don't you just concentrate on your own souls? And, you know, come on, Maggie and I disagree about Jason and Sam, Jason and Liz, Stefano and Victor.
Victor.
Wyatt and Liam. Okay, the
Victor
list goes on
and Jack.
On.
Victor and Jack.
Yeah, I love Zach.
I know you do.
I
still love Victor.
Well, yeah, see, and that's what I'm saying. Then, you know, who gives a heck? I'm saying heck. Who gives
a
heck what everyone like? You know what? I mean, in the 90s, you know, no one could talk to each other like now. In the 90s, you know, we had to wait for the weekend and in our little head count when it's Monday. But now, you can say that on social media. It's a Monday now. And I just think, you know, there's a lot of petty things that has been happening. I just wanted to stop. And if you have a problem with me, or Megan, or Bobby, or David, or Dr. David, and Tony, just tell us. Don't go and do something that is, you know, so bad that you can never take back,
right,
you know, what you did. So, you know, my thing right now is, you know, there's a lot of good guest stars coming back on Daytime After Dark, and yes, I want to apologize for my birthday show. Okay, I know I had some calls on the line, but you never, ever, ever stop a good interview. Why, Maggie?
No, you don't.
And, you know, I mean,
I understand. I waited patiently for you to just patch me into one of the stars, and I understand that you couldn't get to my call and stuff like that. And I understand because you did this when I called in when Jacqueline was on the show, and I understand. Jacqueline Zeman, not Jacqueline Zeman.
Right.
Lynn Hardy. Lynn. Yeah. I knew it was one of the DH people that came out recently.
Lucy.
Lynn. And I understand.
Lynn. Well, yeah, and, you know, you guys, it was my birthday, so. And, you know, I didn't know there were others. You know, I do know there was other surprises along the way, and it would have been nice kind of getting a hint. Oh, someone say, oh, so-and-so is on the Swiss boat. and no one did that. And, you know, if you don't press 1, I don't think you want to talk. So, people, you need to press 1. Obviously, Bobby and David, you don't, because
right,
I know you
press 1 because I'm the, because I'm part of the group, and if I wasn't, I'm just talking to dead air.
Exactly.
It's all right, and David B., I hope you understand now what we are saying about the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay, so, yeah, so, you know, we just wanted to tell, you know, everyone what, you know, what was going on. And, you know, we love everyone, and we love our calls, and we cannot wait to get more calls. But at the end of the day, this show is how Maggie and I would have wanted.
Indeed.
And, you know,
I'm sorry, Carly. I get a chance to be on the show whenever I get a chance, if I'm not busy on Fridays or certain nights you have certain guests other than on Fridays, if I don't have to get up very early for work or have to be out late on Friday and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand if I can't make it or
sure.
anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
It happens to all of us.
You know, it really happened to all of us. And we are having the show all summer long. But I just want to know, some Friday nights we might not, just because, you know, if Maggie wants to go do something crazy. If I go out of town for a couple of days. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all radio, so. And if I hear one more person said, I can't believe you didn't have it on a Friday night. What, are you kidding yourself? No. Sometimes you need to take a step back. You need to take a step back.
I always wait because I knew you had a little break, and I just understood what you was going through back in January when you had health issues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I understood that. I wouldn't say anything
to
bad
be honest,
or just come up to a certain other network, which I won't mention, or anything like that.
Well, yeah, and to be honest, I do still have a couple health problems right now. And, we might not do it every Friday. But here and there we might have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So because, it's easier. And, I don't know what all of us are going to do when Dave goes off for 3 weeks. Anyone have any ideas?
We'll keep the DVR shows going, or TiVo, so that we can kind of look at them.
I already made a commitment where I will DVR Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful when it comes out live, as opposed to the pop replay, so I can catch them with them on weekends. And then when Dave come back, just watch it Monday through Friday, like I told James earlier.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, but 3 weeks. So, you guys, I'm just going to be a little crabby for 3 weeks. You know, I just want to let it known. I hated it the last time.
Withdrawals.
What?
I'm going to do withdrawals with no date for 3 weeks.
Yeah, she's going to withdraw.
Oh, yeah, I know. And that's, you know, I mean, okay, you know how alcoholics, try and go, with withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have to do that with Days of Our Life. Which I'm not comparing the two or anything, but all of us are going to have withdrawals. All of us are not going to be happy about it.
And I know what you mean. And those people in Florida right now that are sick of hearing about what happened the last couple of days and want to watch their
show
are going through the exact same thing.
I was going to bring that up, Bobby. I still cannot get over what's, happened, and, I really feel sorry for all those families,
Your hair goes out.
Come on, and then...
Right. So I'm sick of seeing this bastard on TV every other minute on every other network. I mean, I mean NBC and I think CBS and I believe a couple of local stations in Minneapolis have stopped showing the picture or mentioning him, and that's good. And I want all the rest of the country to stop with this SOB.
Right.
Well, yeah, and you know,
and just
Friday,
you know, when DH wasn't seen, you know, that was understandable.
Right, I understand because Muhammad Ali really changed our lives, and when I look at Oscar that came, Muhammad Ali was probably as popular back when some of us was probably about 16, 17 years old to what Mike Tyson was for people in the late 80s and early 90s, and that's the difference right there.
Right.
And
well, and you know, it's scary. You know, it's scary. I'm not gonna lie. And you know, they closed down the streets, Neil, here yesterday and today. This will be safer. And you know, and I can understand that. I can understand when you know you close down things early because, you know, like I've said, we were on the 9/11 thing was supposed to go to Seattle. One of the stops was the cross in the streets, Nino. And you know, so I understand what every other you know city and state is going through, and people should just be nice and you know nice to everyone and not go through this BS that we've been going through. And yeah, Bobby, I agree. They don't need us. So everything over and over on TV, I get that. Unless you're watching Sonny and the Mob.
I mean, this punk is getting more face time than when Osama bin Laden got during all those times that we were looking for him. That's the worst part about the whole thing. He's getting more face time than what Saddam Hussein got whenever he was threatening the U.S. That's the worst part of it.
Well, and before we go, there's some soap news I want to tell people. Okay, Days of Our Life, Ollie Zucker is in a killer new role it's called Killer Assistant, and it's on Lifetime. This Saturday on Lifetime, this Sunday on Lifetime.
Who's going to be in it?
Nicole from Days of Our Life.
Oh, Ellen Zucker.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mommy and I love Ari. You know, we love her.
I love Ari, too. And I love Ari, too, because I sent her a late birthday message just a few days ago in the mail. And
You know, Davey had a movie on called Killing Mom.
Well, I didn't know anything about the movie until you just reminded me. But it would be great if her schedule can work out where she can just take some time to take calls and come on to the show. I mean, I've been
I would love that.
About a year ago, but it's going to be hard to just get her.
You know, Bobby, how was your birthday? I forgot to ask you.
Oh, it's fabulous. I got some DVDs. I got some video games. I got some cards, and I'm going and everything else, and I had fun. I went to Red Robin. I didn't have enough room to actually get an appetizer, but they did give me a birthday sundae, so that was sweet.
Well, yeah.
But before I go, I just want to remind you all that the next two Fridays I probably will not be able to call in because I'm going to be out of town the next two Fridays. So I do apologize ahead of time. That won't be on the air during the next two Fridays.
Okay. Maggie Bowery died. So we are gonna get off. But yeah, everyone, we will see you maybe this Friday or next Friday. I will let everyone know because my niece and nephew are in town.
Right.
So you know. Okay, have a great night, everyone.
I won't probably see you again until July 1st, but if I do get a chance to see you before then, if you have a guest on before then, I'll call in and just say hi. But in the meantime, I just want to say goodnight to everybody, and you take care. Good night.
Okay, and night, David. Have a great night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, Bobby.